This Four Bars Rest podcast is brought to you in association with Norman's Musical Instruments. Hello and welcome to this fourbarsrest.com podcast, where we'll be looking at the European Championships that have been held here in Ostend over the last couple of days. I'm Anthony Banwell, and joining me is Four Bars Rest editor Ewan Fox, and from the Brass Band World we've got the new editor Roy Terry and associate editor Paul Hindmarsh. Welcome, gentlemen. Live in the bar with several guests around table. Peering on. So apologies for all the mishaps and rough and ready attitude that we've got towards this podcast. Anyway, we'll crack on. The winners, 6-point winning margin, a resounding victory for the current champions and obviously the 2009 champions, the Corrie Band from Wales. Ewan, I'll start with you. They were pretty good this weekend.
They were pretty good, but I wouldn't say they were absolutely stunningly outstanding. There were so many very fine performances, I think. They were the best over the two disciplines, I think, and that's the reason why they were crowned champions. But they were hard pushed to retain their title, and I think the other gentleman would agree with that.
Paul, what did you think of their own choice work, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants?
I didn't think it was one of Peter Graham's strongest pieces. I was rather perplexed by the start, which started as a Bruckner symphony, and I wondered what I was going to be hearing. But actually, when it got going, I got into the spirit of it, and what really, really impressed me was the quality of the playing in the last movement. Some of the passage work was so silky smooth. It's that Corrie Band were the class act of the weekend. I mean, they were the best band here, and rightly won. That piece perhaps didn't really show them off at their absolute electric best, but it was good enough. And as I say, some of the solo playing was just fantastic.
And Roy, back to the Friday on the set work, it was pretty special too. Took a while to come alight, the contest on the Friday evening, but when it did, when Corrie came on stage, it was something special.
Yes, I felt that the opening was only successful by a minority of bands in terms of achieving the sound world that the composer intended. And I didn't feel actually that Corrie's performance took off until they'd got past that point. I felt that there were others that were more successful on that particular area.
Yeah, can I just come back on that? What actually I felt was absolutely thrilling in Corrie's performance was actually later on, when towards the end, there's a little passage where four of the soloists play a little quartet, and they were the only band that had each soloist played like a soloist, but it all joined together to make a whole. It was just so stunning. It was really a special moment in that piece, I thought.
And Ewan, as I mentioned, 6 points winning margin. Do you think that reflected the competition overall?
No, I don't think it did. I think it was much closer than that. But the way in which the competition is based, they've got to give, I think, 1 point between each of the bands in the one section, possibly 2 points in each of the between each of the bands in the other section. So sometimes you get a big margin. Yeah, they won it, but I think it was much closer than the points actually showed in the end. And I think a couple of other bands can cut themselves a little bit unlucky as well over the 2 days. There was a lot of fans and a lot of people were thinking that Oberösterreich, the Austrians, and also Eidganger were really going to be up there. And also there was a rejuvenated Grimthorpe. They were terrible on the Friday and fantastic on the Saturday. So all in all, I think it was possibly much closer than the eventual points margin told.
Well, let's listen to some music and some of the performance of the set work, Jan van der Oost's From Ancient Times.
We'll be right back.
Cory Band there playing part of Jan van der Ost's work from ancient times. Moving on to second place then, and the Swiss band, conducted by the Scot Jim Gouley, brass band Tres Étoiles. Paul?
I thought their performance of the set test of Jan van der Ost's piece on Friday evening was really subtle. It was very cultured, very refined play. They weren't the loudest band, and I suppose they didn't really bring out the features of, you know, of every, didn't bring out every feature of the piece. But the playing was so refined and so cultured, and Jim has a lovely way of making a structure. And some of the moments in that piece are a bit awkward, and yet he seemed to smooth them over and make the piece really sound. I was very impressed, and off number one, I was hoping it would do well, and I was glad that actually in the end, although their mark didn't put them near the top.
That's right, yeah. Well. Fifth place they came. Did you agree with that, or did slightly higher?
Yeah, fourth or fifth was probably about right. And you know, with the as happened, the same mark or same in the own choice actually enabled them to get to a very good mark for them, I think. Yeah.
Second place. Well, it certainly did. Today they played Journey to the Centre of the Earth by Peter Graham. Roy, what did you think of their performance today?
I felt it was, again, a refined performance. I felt that there was a sense of some strain just towards the end. But I think, again, the problem, if one wants to put it like that, with this particular competition, is that you've got six members of the jury overall. And they're all bringing their own different criteria to the judgments. And I think that a band that plays in say, that refined kind of style, but without, as it were, setting the world alight, does stand a very good chance of coming in a top position, as Tres Étoiles have done.
Ewan, well, it was fifth on the Friday for them, third today, so second place overall. An excellent result for them, it must be said.
That is a good band, though. That's the thing, isn't it? And I think Paul and Roy had it right when he said they're very cultured. When you hear them play, it was like they were presented in a little glass case and putting the piece away, you know, only to be brought out on special occasions. Very tasteful. You've got to give it to Jim Gouley. The one thing he has got is a bit of refinement about him. There's no rough edges to anything that he does. And that was shown in their playing. Perhaps the longer the day went on, with some of the other stronger performances on the set were a bit more blood and guts, then possibly you forgot about it. But it was good, and it was the type of work that you would thought would appeal to somebody like Gary Cutt, who tends to do very refined, does what it says on the score. So that, I think, was the reason why it held up there. Journey to the Centre of the Earth, it's not the hardest of pieces. Let's be fair about it, you know. A band like them, like Tres Étoiles, could really play it, and they played it well. And that was the thing about it then. They didn't really overextend themselves when on the day some other bands made perhaps too ambitious a choice, and that possibly that was their Achilles heel. So overall, yeah, they're a fine band, and they deserve to come in the prizes.
Let's move on then to third place, and the Norwegian representatives this year, Eikanger Abjørsvik Music Lag, conducted by Beate Engeset. That's right, didn't stumble over that one. Second on the set work, but could only manage sixth today on, it was Extreme Makeover. Paul?
The conductor of that band, I heard him for the first time at the Festival of Brass in Manchester a couple of years ago when Eikanger were over. He has the most wonderful way with the band. He makes them play with breadth, and the piece, he was the only conductor, I think, on the day of the set work who actually made the piece into a long span. He didn't go for isolated moments, but he let the piece unfold like a grand cathedral, like a huge piece of architecture, and he really made it work. What it perhaps didn't do was pinpoint those moments where you can feature a soloist or bring out, wow, that was wonderful. He wasn't after that. He was after the musical breadth of it. And it showed in that performance, and they got their just desserts for with it, because I thought the performance was stunning and well-deserved the mark it got.
Now, today they played Extreme Makeover. Roy, sixth place from the judges. What did you think of their performance?
I was surprised at the outcome, because from where I was sitting, I felt that they delivered the goods much more today with their own choice piece than they did with the set piece yesterday. I felt that there seemed to be an element of pushing the music along a bit yesterday, And there were times when they almost seemed to be just sort of galloping through it over the surface. That's not to say that the ending wasn't very, very impressive, but I felt that today the kind of performance that they produced, combined with the quality of the piece, meant that it, in a sense it was the most creative bit of music making of the weekend.
And you and Paul mentioned the musical director that took them this weekend. It was something special. We saw him briefly out in Norway earlier in the year. Nick Childs told us then that he was something special, and so it proved.
Well, what you get with people like him is that they just look the part. That's the thing. He boned on stage. I think he's a bit of a boy by the sounds of him, and he was wearing all black with a red tie, so he's a bit of a showman. But the thing about him, as soon as the band started playing, he just let, there was nothing overstated about it, where there was nothing rude about it. There was just everything had such musicality, both in the set work, which I thought they played really well, and we placed them second ourselves. But Extreme Makeover, they did benefit from a fantastic tune percussion player. You know, he was the star, and in that piece, that's the star performer. So that really helped as well. But by the time that they got, you know, right at the end when the basses are really pumping it out, it seemed the type of performance you thought to yourself, yeah, that's going to be right up the very top. But it just didn't, for some reason, resonate in the tent. We understand that the adjudicators found it very disappointing. So, you know, everybody in the hall thought it was fantastic. The three men that count didn't think that was that great. And that's the reason why, in this occasion, when we tipped them to take the title, they just fell away.
Well, it's a very visual piece of music, the Extreme Makeover. Do you think that people then who are able to see what's going on the stage are deceived somewhat to the actual playing?
Well, the Belgians must be easily deceived, because they go bonkers at the first sign of anybody doing anything out of this world, don't they? You know, Eddie Soprano player who played a note above top C, it was absolute rapturous applause that came to him at the end, even though some of them sounded as rough as a ragman's trumpet. But in this case, there was some really good playing, weren't there? You've got to give it them. But you know, perhaps the Belgians don't get out very often, especially in Ostend. But it's, you know, in this case, I think Iganga deserved more than they got in the end.
I agree.
There we go. Paul agreed with me on that one.
I suspect there's a bit of a syndrome operating here, because it seems to me that it would be quite fair to refer to Engeset, if you like, as Norway's Brantovi. And there is a sense in which orchestral conductors, and very experienced and renowned orchestral conductors, don't always seem to hit it off with brass band adjudicators. And I think there's an issue there that perhaps needs to be addressed in some way.
Well, let's move on to fourth place, and from the Netherlands, brass band Rijnmond. They chose to play Concerto Grosso today. Over the 2 days, it was fourth and fifth, respectively, so very, very consistent for them. And fourth place overall seemed well-deserved.
Yeah, it did. I hadn't heard that band for a while, and I was surprised, and I was actually impressed with the crispness of it. Some of the set piece, I thought, was a little bit hard in tone, but this afternoon, when they played the Concerto Grosso by Bourgeois, that sort of aggressive approach really worked, and the piece, for me, the piece came to life. I thought it was a performance that was genuinely of quality. Yeah, really, really enjoyed it.
I got to disagree with Paul there. I thought they were absolutely awful. They were dire on the set work, and they were absolutely even more dire on this one. They started off the Concerto Grosso. It was just Concerto Grosso rubbish it was in the end. They started off, you had a euphonium player who couldn't play the cadenza. You had a bass player. There we are, thanks. They remember it all now. You know, it was very, it proved the point. It was like a hometown banker performance, wasn't it? The crowd went bonkers, yet there was no quality about it at all. Fine flugel player, but he absolutely raced through the blues solo halfway through the piece. The Tico Tico was taken as if they were all, you know, on illegal Dutch drugs or something. It was a terrible performance. I don't know how on earth the three people in the box thought it was worthy of where it came. And the same thing applied to it on the set work. We had them 10th and 11th, I think, over the 2 days. I'm just flabbergasted is the word to describe it, aren't I?
Well, Paul, terrible or well-deserved?
No, yeah, well, he's put me in it, hasn't he? But They weren't hideous, but it wasn't. It was a performance that I had about halfway down. I mean, I think fourth was a bit high, to be honest. But if they'd been sixth, I would have been perfectly happy. There were other bands that were sixth, which I thought should have been fourth. So, you know, there are swings and roundabouts. But yeah, it was. The piece started all right, the Concerto Grosso, and the opening movement was actually pretty good. The middle movement was a bit mechanical. The finale, you're right, I've just looked at my notes. The finale, you're right, it gabbled. And that's that conductor's problem, is that he starts a good tempo, he starts a good image, and then he rather gets excited, and it gathers and gathers and gathers speed, particularly did in the set test piece, and it tends to lose coherence. But it was better than I thought it was going to be, certainly.
Okay, just swallowing my lager, hold on a second. Excuse me. Where are we? You are fifth. Grimethorpe.
Right, Grimethorpe.
Grimethorpe, ninth yesterday on the set work, second today. Two very contrasting performances from the Yorkshire lads. Masquerade was absolutely stunning today, but they just didn't do themselves any justice at all on Friday. Paul?
I had hoped that the set test piece was going to be really good. I came to it with a very positive frame of mind, and at the very opening, I thought, oh, this could be all right. And as the piece went on, I thought, no, this is rather loud, and it's got rough edges. And I think there was a lot of nervousness in the band, a lot of tension. There was tension in the performance, and that really did tell. And there was a sort of sense of strain to get through it. And as people got nervous, they get louder, it gets out of tune. Whereas today, that tension seemed to disappear. Everyone was more relaxed, including the conductor, and some of the music was just fantastic. The middle section with the Verdi picture with Nanette's aria was just some of the most beautiful playing of the day.
Roy, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I tend to agree with it. I felt that certainly the performance of the test piece was incredibly inconsistent. There were passages where the detail wasn't at all clear, and there are details where the balance wasn't right either. There's one particular section where you've still got the motet going and you've got a decorative part on the cornets, and yet that part sounded as if it was in the foreground instead of being in the background. I was very, very impressed with the performance of Masquerade. Just one quibble was that there's a fairly long section which is marked Sempre Accelerando, and yet it seemed to stay fixed at the same tempo throughout. And I just felt that the sound quality went for the actual ending, which became somewhat raucous in the end, which is a great shame.
Well, one star performer today was the euphonium player Michael Dodd. He was quite superb.
Oh, he's a class act, isn't he? You know, yeah, got to give it to the boy. Every time you hear him with Grimethorpe, he actually shines. I echo what the other gentleman said. Though. On Friday, Grimethorpe were tripe. There's no point beating about the bush with them. It was Yorkshire tripe, wasn't it? And then when he came to the Saturday, it was like they were just a totally different band. You can imagine Alan with it, and they must have taken him back to the hotel and given him a right rollicking, because they didn't play anywhere near their potential at all on the Friday. The contest was lost for them. They're the type of band that could turn around and then put in a fantastic performance, which they did on Masquerade. Especially Michael Dodd, some of the, you know, there's those great leaps at the end of his cadenza, and he played each of them perfectly. And they got quieter as well, which you don't usually get with the euphonium players. They usually try to blast out the top note. They were stunning today on their own choice. They were awful on the set work. So I don't think they can have any real complaints to find out where they actually came in the end.
On to complaints then, Paul. Brass band Oberösterreich. Last year, we felt that they were slightly hard done by. What do you think this year, especially on their own choice, which they played Spirits of Puccini?
I didn't hear them in Stavanger last year, but I saw on 4BR, actually, and elsewhere, that they'd been very hard done by. Today, they played Spirits of Puccini by Hermann Pahlhuber, which is a real maverick piece. I mean, it's got these wonderful tunes. I mean, Hans Gantsch's playing of Babino Caro was just sublime. It's a simple tune, everybody knows it, and perhaps that's part of the problem. Everybody knows it and they think they know how it goes, and it must be jolly easy. It's not. If you're going to play it with that simplicity and just to let the line flow, and you can imagine you've got the most fantastic soprano singing it with the breath control, it was fabulous. And elsewhere you've got all those processions of notes and lots of images, good counterpoint. So it was a good piece by a very promising composer. You know, the soprano player was fantastic. Yes, the tubas are a bit light because they play wind band F and C tubas, that you can quibble that the horns and baritones aren't as good as inconsistencies in the band. But that piece, more than the set piece, was a fantastic performance. I actually had it third and was rather disappointed to see it come so low down, because it was a performance that was which showed that band off to its best.
Well, I've got to admit, what you've got to say about the Austrians is when they play the piece like the Puccini, it's just playing from a different planet. It's not true brass band playing. That's the point about it. It's brass ensemble playing it is. But when you got players like the soprano, the block, he didn't miss a note, and he played, you know, up to top D's in the set work and top, you know, top Z's in the other work he was playing. What he was just fantastic playing. The trombone player was brilliant. Hans Gansch, simple melody, you know, tears are rolling down your cheeks when you're playing like that. It's simply fantastic, but a great piece. The strange thing is I get a feeling that there's a little bit of inverted snobbery about people who are in the box. When they see the piece, they want to have a bit of real brass band playing, whatever. But if you look at it, this is a piece that in its way is a return to the music of William Rimmer was writing 120 years ago, whatever. It's like Gems of Schubert and stuff like that. That's all it is. If he was alive today, he would be writing this sort of stuff. I thought they were a class apart today. They weren't a class apart on the set work. I think they were found out a little bit there, especially as Paul said about the middle of the band. But today, different league today.
Well, Roy, a class apart or also runs?
I think they're a class apart. I also have a problem with this notion that they're not producing a brass band sound, because it doesn't seem to me that a brass band sound, in inverted commas, is something that's, as it were, set in concrete. I remember going to my first contest where the test piece was High Peak and being totally shocked at the sound that the trombones were making then, because I was playing in a brass band in London, where the trombones were playing in an orchestral style. I was also playing in a brass band where the cornet vibrato was not nearly marked, as was the custom then. And it seems to me that brass band sound is something which is clearly going to develop and already has developed. And that's even more an issue when we're talking across a whole continent where there are different performing styles. And it doesn't seem to me that any more than in the orchestral world, in the brass band world, we can impose one set sound style, as it were, on every band and say, you know, this is the measure, and if you don't come up to that, well, no matter how musical and musically exceptional you may be, we don't rate you.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, you've only got to think about the development of the brass band sound in Britain over the last 30 years. You go, some of my favourite recordings, actually, from 30, 40 years ago, I listened to them with pleasure. But listening to them now as compared to bands today, the sound is different. The instruments are different. The quality of the vibrato is certainly different. The sound isn't as big. The basses are lighter. There's a lot more vibrato in the euphoniums and baritones. It's still fantastic playing. You know, bands today are technically so proficient. Why can't BBO's playing be considered to be a brass band sound? I just don't actually buy into that idea that the brass band sound has to be embedded in what brass band sound is in Great Britain, or, you know. Yes, I love that sound, that rich, warm, romantic sound, but I mean, you've only got to think of Aikanger. Aikanger's sound is not the conventional brass band sound as we know it. Brass bands in America, certainly, it's very different. That is more the sound that brass band Oi Broesterrijk make, that rather ensemble-like sound, which is rather thinner towards the bottom. So, no, I'm with Roy on this one, that as long as a collection of brass instruments plays fantastically well musically and technically, and if they're playing on brass band instruments, that's a brass band.
Yeah, I'll go back and agree with Paul. The strange thing is that this weekend we had the Cozy Quartet were playing on adult sax instruments. Now, if people are really that concerned about the sound of brass bands, we should be still sounding like we were 120-odd years ago. And it sounded awful. You know, there's been but about, you know, it's nice to hear after, but after 10 minutes of it, it started to grate on the ear. You know, people may turn around and say that they don't like the sound, but it's the future of where brass playing is going. And when you hear players of that standard playing, it takes the normal player out of his comfort zone. They can relate to possibly somebody who's got a huge vibrato and somebody who is struggling to play a technical piece. These boys can do it in their sleep. And I think, as we said, there's a bit of inverted snobbery about it. We don't like to be seen that Johnny Foreigner is turning around and showing us the way forward. And that's certainly the case with the Austrians. Fantastic composer, fantastic piece, fantastic players. They'll get their just reward before too long, I'm sure of it.
Well, we're in the bottom half now. Seventh place, local band, Festival Brass Band from Belgium, played The Promised Land today. It's a piece that we haven't heard too much since it was played by Corey a couple of years ago. Paul, what did you think of their performances over the 2 days?
I confess I didn't hear their own choice piece, but I did hear their piece this afternoon. I was actually surprised. I hadn't heard the band before. They've got some very good players. Kenneth's piece is extremely demanding technically, and they seem to get round the notes. I think what the performance lacked for me was a sense, and maybe that's partly because the writing is so complex, I didn't get the feeling of musical line and musical argument through the piece. You know, I can. They didn't seem to hit the fact that it's based on Mifanwy and Men of Harlech. And I'm not sure they hit the point that they were there. and therefore, it didn't really, for me, musically hit the mark. But they can certainly play.
Apologies, I think I said they were 7th and 8th. They were actually 8th and 4th over the 2 days. They were, and realistically, let's face it, they were a much, much better band today than they were yesterday.
Better. Much, much better.
Well, on this occasion, we're going to agree with the judges. I think 8th and 4th was about right for them. The other thing I agree with Paul is that the one thing that when they played this piece, it seemed like an odd choice for a Belgian band to play. You know, they're not going to know where the Cardiff Arms Park is or where Mifanwy is or Joseph Barry. They haven't got a clue what it is. So they played it in a very straightforward fashion. If a Welsh band played it, it would have been cloying sentimentality. We would have been heart on strings. We would have been all their hoil, all the type of things that the Welsh are renowned for, and it would have been awful. They played it straightforward, nice tunes, and it came off. And the other thing I've got to say, they had a fantastic euphonium player, Glenn Van Loy, who is the British Open solo champion, young lad there.
Brilliant.
That's some player. And given that that piece was originally written to showcase the talents of David Childs, he really stepped up to the mark. That's some player in the making. Not great they weren't, as you're saying, on the set work. They were a bit robust and, you know, over the top. But this was a really good performance and deserved the fourth place today and you know, eventually where he came.
A lot of Welsh in that test piece of Promised Land. And in eighth place, the Welsh band Tredegar, the second of the two Welsh bands. Seventh on Friday, eighth on Contest Music today. Bit of a strange choice, Contest Music. It's a piece that they're going to have to play next week at the Grand Shield, so probably sensible in that respect, but a good choice for the European?
Well, it has been used before. 2 years ago, Foden's played it. In a contest that seems to me to demand high-octane pieces of high virtuosity when you've got bags of notes and bags of time to show off, which is what really this particularly the own choice element, which I absolutely love, tends to demand. A piece like Contest Music, which is actually all about music, it's about the musical argument and nothing else. It's not making any pictures. But it is very, very hard to play. It's like playing Mozart. Mozart looks easy on the page until you start playing it and realise that even if one note is out of place, the whole thing can fall apart. And Tredegar, in the first movement, were really... That found them out. Because I felt that they were incredibly nervous, because it is so demanding, and the nervousness led, like it did to Grimthorpe on the previous day, led to some raucous tone in the cornets, I thought it was a bit hard, and it didn't flow. The counterpoints weren't integrated really subtly. It got better through the second movement, and the top C-sharp, the solo cornet player, I had my fingers crossed, hoping that he would get there and make it, and he did. He had a little help from the fourth man down, who just helped him with the phrase beforehand, and then that top C-sharp sailed on. And actually, thereafter, in the third movement, I thought was really good. It's the least demanding musically to play. It's got a lightness to it, and it's more like a piece of really sophisticated light music. And they made a good job of that, and the ending was terrific. So, it was a low mark, largely because I think they were overstretched maybe at the in the first two movements. They've got a week to improve, and I'd reckon they'll do pretty well. Well, I hope they do anyway, at the Grand Shield next week.
Roy, what did you make of their performance on the Friday of the set work from Ancient Times?
I felt that was, a middle-of-the-road sort of performance. Again, it was, to use school inspector speak, it was sort of a strengths and weaknesses was the cliché that used to be used. So, I mean, there were areas where balance was extremely good. There were others. There were others where it lapsed. Sound quality as well became a bit harsh towards the end, but they weren't alone this week. They weren't alone last night in falling into that sort of trap. So far as today was concerned, I just felt that the main problem was that there seemed to be a certain instability about the rhythmic shaping of the music. It seemed to sort of, as it were, meander where it needs a very clear sense of where it's going and how each phrase contributes to that.
You in eighth place overall. I suspect they're going to be slightly disappointed with that.
Ah, they deserve to be disappointed with it, I think, because I thought they deserved to have third place on the set work. I thought they played exceptionally well on the set work. They weren't out of their depth. They were the class below Eichanger and Corey, but they were the best of the rest on the set work by a comfortable margin for me. Possibly a bit biased when we're saying it, but I thought they were that good. Contest music, they had to play contest music, you know, they've got it to play next week. So any result that they had here would have been a bonus because they want to get through to the British Open. It just had a couple of bit too many blips and blobs, you know, that was the biggest problem with it. At this level, against the type of performances that you're getting from other bands, it's the easiest way for a band to lose marks when you're comparing like with unlike in effect. And it's just a few too many blips and blobs. The top C-sharp was just over 10 seconds long. That's Philip McCann territory. So that was real top-class playing. But just after that, then, it was another little blip, wasn't it? So you're all, for all the fantastic stuff, and there was some real tremendous playing in there, those little clips and blips just cost them. And that was the reason why I think we put them eighth this afternoon, and that's where they came. But I think they'd be a bit disappointed. There's a real good band in the making with Tredegar.
With that performance, do you think that it's good enough to qualify for the British Open next week?
The British Open is a contest that you need a heck of a lot of luck in. For the Grand Shield, we mean, if you're going to get there. I remember a couple of years ago, Leyland, I think they came over here, played brilliantly in the European. You know, turned up then to Blackpool. They were drawn number one. It was pouring down with rain. Gary Cutt wasn't allowed entry into the door, you know, and their chances of getting the British Open were gone for another year. You do need a bit of luck there. It's a strong field as well, but the thing is, contest music will take many, many, many more casualties at Blackpool than it would ever do here. And Tredegar's performance, I think, will be, even a week before, will be up there. I would say that, but they need if they can just get rid of those little clips, I think they'll be in good shape for there. But it's a hard old piece, contest music, even, you know, nearly 40 years after it was written.
Well, with Corey winning, does mean that Tredegar will be invited next year to Austria in Linz as a result of coming second at the regional championships.
Well, it's good news again, because, you know, a band like that needs to be playing against the very highest class, and they now know what they're up against. You know, the last time Tredegar played was in 2002 here, so they now know what the type of standard of playing they've got to expect to draw out. But as we said, they are an improving band. And again, congratulations for Corey, because Corey have done Tredegar a bit of a favour there as well. So we've got to, you know, take our hats off for them.
On to ninth then, and the Danish band Lyngby Tarbæk Brass Band, conducted by Christian Schmiederskamp. They played harmony music today. Paul, what did you make of that performance?
Frankly, it wasn't very harmonious. I adore that piece. I think it's fabulous. The sounds it makes are so evocative, especially in the middle movement. Philip has that fantastic way of scoring, which is almost the equivalent of Ravel and Debussy on the orchestra. It's so subtle, so tender, and it goes up. But the band was clearly well overstretched. I thought, to get to the heart of that piece. And at the end, when we have that sudden change of tempo and the trombones come in at a different speed to the rest of the band, it nearly fell apart. It wasn't a solid performance. It wasn't a patch on their performance the previous day, which, although was middle of the road, I think in terms of where it should have been, was a lot stronger. And I actually quite enjoyed many moments of it, but I felt sorry for them in Harmony Music. I just felt they perhaps didn't do themselves justice.
Well, they did come last on Harmony Music. On Friday, Roy, they came sixth on the set work.
It seemed to me that was over generous, to say the least. And I think that, you know, clearly that's had a, to my mind, a distorting effect on their final placing. it seemed to me that there was a lot of untidiness in the playing. And today, following the piece with the score, even getting down to some pretty basic details about basic rhythm shapes, some of those were really quite carelessly done and in fact totally inaccurate. So I'm really quite concerned that they should have ended up in as high a position as they did relative to some of the other bands. I mean, to say that their performance of the test piece was only one point apart from Treze Étoiles seems to me to be stretching it a bit.
Actually, I think in sheer terms of brass band, they were one of the weakest bands here. Their performance of Harmony Music perhaps tells us where they are. And I thought that last time I heard them, they were actually quite a bit better than that.
Wally, when they are, I suppose, regular attendees at this event, probably being the strongest band in Denmark, but they seem to be taking a slight backward step. I remember hearing them a couple of years ago under Ray Farr. Mm. They had a very good year up in, I think it was Scotland, I can't quite remember. But they don't seem to be going forward at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem for them. Isn't it? You know, it's like being the best football team, you know, in Wales or something like that. It's a fact that, you know, it doesn't amount to a great deal. The problem they have, strangely enough, their results show that they, over the last 3 or 4 years, they do really well on the set work and then drop themselves in it to their own choice selections. You know, there was really good quality Lyngby Tarbuck on the set work, and it was more Jimmy Tarbuck when it came to the own choice. It just, that's the problem. It wasn't Harmony, you know. Harmony Music is a very difficult piece. And I think people forget about it. Again, it's written 20-odd years ago now, and it's one of the Spark works which is, I think, has been forgotten a little bit. It's a real stinker of a piece to play and play well. Ninth place on, you know, I think that was about par for the course for them, and says a lot about. But I think there's a good band in the making, but they do need to be up against stronger opposition in their home country. I think that would push them on, rather than just coming here once a year and hoping to do well against the best bands in Europe.
10th place then, and the Scottish representatives, Whitburn, conducted by Russell Gray. They chose to play Vienna Nights today. Paul, what did you make of it?
It was a bit of a struggle, I thought, today for them. There were some wonderful moments, and the reading of the piece from conductor Russell Gray was very good. I thought it was well shaped. There were some good dramatic moments. Some of the chords were good. But there were too many clips and bumps along the way. It's very exposed writing, and it's because a lot of it's Mozart. And Mozart, like Wilfred Heaton, you know, every note counts, and if anything out of place, it tends to be a problem. I thought the tuba playing was very characterful. I enjoyed that very much. To be honest, I think I was hoping for a little more, but then they were, because they are a very good band. It's a band that I've admired for a while. They're improving a great deal, and they've had some very good musical direction over the last little while. You know, their Brass in Concert performance, for example, again, lowly placed, but very good performances. And so it's certainly a band that's on the rise, I think. And actually, in this setup, they weren't, in this context, they weren't disgraced in playing. And I think their 10th position maybe doesn't quite reflect where they should be. I personally would have had them higher. Vienna Nights is amongst the hardest pieces in the repertoire.
Well, it was 9th place today on Vienna Nights. Roy, 10th place yesterday on the set work. Did the adjudicators get it right?
I'm absolutely certain they got it totally wrong. I think Whitburn are this year's Oberösterreich. I note from yesterday that the effect of the motet was magical because they distanced it the trombone sound was totally appropriate for that period of music. The voicing was right. There was a sense of growth in the music. The pacing of accelerandos was well brought off. There was a virtuosity about the playing without it ever getting forced. And I sum it up by saying that yesterday it was very cultured and very refined playing. So I think, you know, the cliche about being robbed certainly applies to them for the test piece. And I certainly don't think that they deserve to come second to bottom, as they did.
10th and 9th then over the 2 days, Ewan, hard done by?
I think they were. I like Roy saying that the Scots, the Scots are the Austrians of 2009. That'll be the heck of, you know, their accent must be fantastic, a Scottish Austrian to do that. But I got to admit, I agree with them though. I think on the set work, I found them just a touch too safety conscious. Where I think they could have taken a few more risks. They make a great sound, Whitburn. They do that. And Russell Gray is, of course, one of the most musical brass band conductors around. He's now branching out into orchestral stuff, so he's bringing more experience into his conducting. The thing that they lack every now and again is a touch of old-fashioned precision and focus and the boring stuff, where it needs to be really bang on the mark. But and again, I agree with Roy when it came to Vienna Nights. The simple reason why it came as low as it did, I think the people in the box went on a split count, and they did have a lot of splits. There were some nasty ones. They were never enough, really. You wouldn't have said that it detracted from the overall quality of the reading of the work, but it just gives it an adjudicator. The very easy thing to say, you know, the soprano knocked over a few. You know, it went all the way, literally all the way through the band, with the exception, I would say, of the solo baritone player, who was quite superb. But apart from that, that was the reason where that they lost out. They can count themselves unlucky, though, because I think they deserve possibly to come sixth. Yeah. I think sixth place would have been what they would have got over the 2 days. But, you know, as we say, there's always one band that's going to have a rough deal, and I think Whitburn had the rough deal at the 2009 Europeans.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're a band I really like, and I really like the way they looked on Friday afternoon in the set piece. And they didn't wear their ordinary uniforms. They wore their evening dress with cummerbunds, black ties, and Russell wore his kilt. Now, I don't know whether it was the right... I'm glad the judges couldn't see it, because we could see his knees. But you know, they looked very smart. And actually, and of course, the performance also was the performance of the set piece, I thought, had a lovely shape to it. The architecture of the piece. The reading of the piece was up there with Eikanger's reading. It was very subtle. There were a lot of good things. And I had it certainly a few marks, two places higher than that, because they were just let down a bit by... Perhaps slightly overambitious choice for the insecurities of Vienna Nights. I don't know whether it's insecure or not, but it just seemed... I was wishing it to be so much better than it was.
I think it was close to being a very, very good performance. Yeah, yeah. That was the thing, wasn't there? Right. But there was a real distinct line between it going up to the next arch. Again, I'll be talking about... It sounds a bit boring, but if you're going to make mistakes, they're going to cost you. What you don't get with Corey, the one thing you never get with Corey is... more than one error in a performance. If you're year two in a Corey performance, then you know somebody's going to be taken outside and shot most probably. You know, they don't do it, do they? That's the thing about them. You raise an eyebrow if somebody even half clips one. They are so secure because it's driven into them to make sure of that. I think Russell does the big picture. He does a fantastic big picture. But it's like looking at those Picasso or those Brecht drawings that they have sometimes, the dot ones, you know, from afar, it looks fantastic. But when you look at close, it's a bit of a mess. So that's what you get there. Whitburn's time will come, I think. They will really click together, but they've just got to rid themselves of the sloppiness sometimes about their playing. But they were unlucky this year at the Europeans.
And finally, the French band, brass band Aeolus, Battle Creek, they chose to play today, Paul.
Yeah, I think it was Battle Up the Creek in many respects. I think it was an unfortunate choice. There were some good things in it. There were lots of small moments which added up, I think, to where they came. You know, for example, that first cadenza, which is the solo cornet and the euphonium, those octaves that they have to be absolutely together. The octaves have to be absolutely in tune, and the second time. And if they're not, if they don't play in exactly the same way and they're not in tune, it really shows. And it was the accumulation of those little things through the piece which I think told against them in that piece.
Roy, talk us through what you heard on Friday night.
On Friday, I heard a lot of authenticity so far as style was concerned, particularly in things like the motet, and some fabulous percussion playing, and in particular a virtuoso xylophonist. Some of the playing I felt was pretty well characterized, but there's still a young band, and what they haven't yet developed is a sense of, if you like, poise and self-confidence to allow, for instance, more space and a sense of improvisation in cadenzas, and also they were not on good form in terms of quite a bit of the tuning. So far as Battle Creek is concerned, I heard them play it at the French contest in January. On the strength of that performance, they should have won that contest. And it may well be that the piece had gone a bit stale on them. Because, again, with musicians like that, I think if the tuning starts to go, it's because the concentration has gone.
Ewan, while it was length and tenth over the 2 days, that's pretty much par for the course, really.
Yeah, but I like these French bands. I got there's something about this, like they're truckers and that, aren't they? They, you know, when they get it in their mind to do it their way, they do it, you know, and sod the rest of them. You know, there's a bit of flair about their playing. It's not always in the right place, but the solo corner player Clement Saunier, who won the solo award at Cambridge last year, he's a heck of a player. Heck of a play, he could step into any band.
Have you paid him now?
I paid him now as well, because his solo prize was outstanding, so he's got paid in lira, though, not in euros. But there's something about them, I don't know what it is. They're a bit frustrated. I think they must be one heck of a frustrating band, I think, because you get typical with the French, I think there's 30 of them who've got all different opinions, and none of them would shift when they put it together. But when they do play together, there's a real touch of class about them. I think they're a band to look out for. With Battle Creek, it's an ambitious choice. And the thing is, if it doesn't go right from the start, when you've got the fearsome duo cadenza, then, you know, it can tend to sound a little bit downhill after that. But I don't know, I think in the next couple of years, if they keep carrying on coming over to Britain, possibly, if they can go to, say, like to Cambridge or to another type of contest in London and really pick up and find themselves, so they know where the standard, where they are, I think they could be a band to look out for. There's a lot of raw talent there, a bit of French flair as well, so yeah, possibly they deserve to come where they did on the weekend, but I think in the next few years we can see them really rapidly improving.
Well, overall, and gentlemen, looking down the list of bands, did the adjudicators get it right or wrong?
They got the winner absolutely right. I don't think down the line I would. I mean, they in their eyes, they got it right, and so we don't argue with it. If I'd been there, I would have certainly had some bands in different places, particularly this afternoon in the own choice, where I thought there were some inconsistencies as a result. But the set piece pretty as much as I would have had it, I think.
I don't think I can conscientiously say that I'd quibble with the first three places overall, although I would have had some reservations about Trois Étoiles possibly being that high. But once you get into the middle range, then I think there's a certain element of some of the results being just a bit bizarre.
I agree with that. I must admit, Corey are the best band here. There's no doubt about it, you know. They're just the most consistent. I think Ian Clowes, who was our photographer there, he said he was at the back of the stage. He said they were the most focused band before they'd even played a note. You know, the rest of the band, you know, you get the nervous chatter, you get people making a laugh and a joke. But, you know, Cordy were like a rugby union team just before they go on for international, you know, all psyched up. They knew exactly what they had to do. And that's the reason why when they go on stage, they, you know, make very, very few mistakes. It's... you can call it a bit cynical if you want to, but it's the way in which you win brass band contests. You don't win brass band contests by being the most musical, you know, the one that's going to send everybody home in paroxysms of delight. You go there by simply playing the notes, put them in the right place, make very, very few mistakes, and it makes the judge's job, you know, much more easier. I also agree, further down the list, possibly there's some bands who came in which shouldn't have. Reinman, for me, I don't know, I think that must have been a vote just to keep them happy, you know, to keep them in the EU or something like that. But I just didn't understand that one at all. And there's a couple of bands who can count themselves unlucky on the weekend. Corey, though, they are the best band in Europe. And, you know, they won by 8 points. Possibly they should have been closer than that, but they are the best band, and that's why they're European champions.
Paul, that's two wins in a row for the Welsh band. Can they emulate what YBS are doing at this event?
Oh, I think so. I mean, they're a class outfit. The sound, at the moment, the sound is just awesome. It's over the last 5 years, you know, as I say, 5 years ago, I might have said, oh, it was a bit inconsistent from time to time. But now, it's like a Rolls Royce. It's the most gorgeous noise, allied to some fantastic individual performances. I mean, it's a band that it's a pleasure to listen to. And I don't see why they can't go on and make it number three. No.
Well, Roy, number three next year, possibly, but looking forward to the year ahead and the Open Internationals for Corey. Winners there?
I'd have thought, on what we've heard this weekend, a very, very strong chance. I think also the convincing thing about today and looking at the possibility of a run of wins is that they didn't win, as it were, by default because of the averaging out between the two sections. They clearly won both sections. And I think that's enough indication of what can happen in the future.
Well, just before you go, gentlemen, I'd like to chat a little bit about the test pieces themselves that the bands chose today. Some bands didn't seem to choose the right kind of piece for the kind of band that they are. Roy?
I think for bands from the so-called developing countries, this is one of the most difficult things that they face, because they haven't had sufficient experience to know how you choose a test piece that is going to show off your strengths, disguise perhaps your weaknesses, and it's a very tricky thing to do. It's a bit of a lottery, even for the best of bands. I remember just a few years back, Brass Band Normandy, for instance, choosing a Gilbert Vinter piece because they thought that it was within their capability. But in fact, of course, as the regionals showed this year, a Gilbert Vinter piece can trick up the very best of bands because it actually exposes everything. So that's a particular difficulty, which means that, as it were, until these bands get much, much more, and their conductors get much, much more experience under their belt, and also get to know a much wider range of repertoire than just sort of the latest top ten, as it were, they're going to suffer accordingly.
Yeah, I think Roy's got a point there, but I'd like to say something else, that the part of the selection, what would encourage some of these bands, and even bands that don't get to the European very often, like some of the Scottish bands and the Welsh bands, who maybe overextend themselves in choices, that they would be helped if maybe the feedback from the adjudicators somehow could point them more positively than maybe. I mean, I'd heard from some of the players and some of the remarks that have come from the event this year that some of the remarks are rather general. Well, I know when I write remarks, I tend to write too much, but I try to be positive and try, you know, you try to give a band a helpful guidance. So, look, well, this piece may have been too hard for you. Try something else. And maybe even afterwards, that one's able to sort of give some advice to the sort of pieces that might be helpful, rather than maybe just a generalised, oh, very good here, very good there, or 25 points. Well, that's not helpful. If you have some remarks which are generalised and then maybe a low mark, you say, well, why is that mark so low when you said here that is this is a nice piece, great playing, great soloist, and a low mark, and then there's confusion. Well, bands that aren't very often in this situation might be helped to have a bit more help.
Ewan, we noticed that some bands, especially over the last 5 years probably, have had special commissions for this event. Not every band is in a financial situation, position to be able to afford that. So does that put those bands at an advantage?
I don't think so, really. There's enough, you know, young composers in Penry out there who will do a composition for next to nothing, I think. You know, we're not asking James McMillan to write a test piece of brass bands. You know, what you've got to realise is that when you come to these contests, this is brass band music like Harlem Globetrotters. All it's there is to showcase your strengths and camouflage weaknesses. The Puccini stuff today, the reason why that it was a fantastic piece because it highlighted the fantastic strengths of the Austrian band. The Corey piece was the same as well. If you've got those type of players in your band, there's no point just them sitting there playing afterbeats. You've got to feature them. So in that respect, I think there's no problem with the bands themselves getting composers to write for them. Whether or not they then write great pieces of music is a different matter. What you possibly get is great contest-winning test pieces, which is a different matter. But the other point, which Roy brought on, I think it would be good, and the Americans do this when we went over to the US Open, myself, me and you, is that the next day they get the adjudicators to speak to each of the conductors.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Now, some of the conductors are full of ego and not going to be doing it and won't like to be told where they went right or wrong. But in the city, and I think there's a real possibility there for the adjudicators to sit down and just say like the French band or whatever, would really want to know where they went wrong and what they got to do to improve, to sit down with them and just say, look, this is why we felt we had to give you this mark. And they could do it in much more detail at that point. And I think the other point as well, people like the French are desperate to find out why Bob Charles gets his band to play like he does. And if Bob Giles could turn around and just give some time, I'm sure he would do it, and just explain to them, look, this is what you do, this is how you develop the band in rehearsals, and bring that sort of community part of it into to help the developing nations and the developing bands come along. I think that would be a good idea as well. Otherwise, all you're going to get year in, year out are just showcase pieces. I think in 1 year, I'm sure one man will pick Wynton Marsalis and you'll just have him playing 20 minutes of a trumpet solo. It'd be fantastic playing, but it'll be nothing to do with brass band then. The crowd would go bonkers as well, and most probably the band would win.
I think that happened in Norway a couple of years ago with Trumpets to the Angels, didn't it?
It did, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with it as such. If you want to win a contest, when, you know, I think it was Eikang and Martin Winter.
Yeah.
The first sound that you could hear after he played for about, you know, 10 minutes by himself was the sound of everybody's jaw hitting the floor, wasn't it? It was just fantastic playing. And that is what is the problem is, and that's, I think, is the possibility of the way the own choice contest may be heading, is that you will get all these fantastic arrangements specifically for one-off bands. And whether or not that then enriches the brass band repertoire is a different matter. Possibly it doesn't, but I've got to admit, the Puccini thing, I think, would enrich anything. I thought that was a fantastic piece.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Let's move on to the B section then. Let's get this done quickly before somebody hands me another Stella Artois. Winners, 3BA Brass, the Bavarian Academy Band. Malcolm, you sat in for all the six bands in this section. Talk us through the Germans.
The Germans, Anthony, in a word, were simply brilliant. Or two words, should I say, were absolutely... Two words. Simply brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. They only chose three pieces, actually, including the test piece. But they started off with Paul Lovett Cooper's Where Eagles Sing, which was fully committed. And if Paul had been present, he probably would have had his fingers in his mouth whistling like mad. And then after the test piece, if I can say it, they concluded with a robust account of Paganini Variations that was absolutely top draw. 18 years after it was first used on the contest stage, it's still a difficult work, but the Germans did a great job of it.
Great job. Ewan, good enough for the A section?
No. Oh, you want me to elaborate on that, is it? Well, it was just like A section playing, really. They're a first section brass ensemble band. You know, good stuff, and you take your hat off to them. They're trying really hard. But to think that they would even
come close to competing in the lead section is nonsense. What they do well, and they should be encouraged, absolutely encouraged to do it. A lot of fine musicians there, but they had a brass ensemble rather than the brass band. And I think the longer they stay in the B section, I think the better, because then they will be prepared in a couple of years' time possibly to make the step up like the French has done, like the Austrians have done, and be able to compete in the top level.
The other bands then, we've had bands from Italy, Austria, Lithuania, Northern Ireland and the Republic. Italy, the Italians, I'm sorry, came in second place, brass band Viptal. We've seen Fren Arifa's Pfeffersberg do well here in the past. How did Viptal do?
Viptal were great, Anthony. In fact, if they make a return trip, they may well take the title in over the next couple of years. Really, really solid playing. Well chosen program, it has to be said. They played to their strengths, it's as simple as that. And they gave it their all. They came to enjoy themselves, and they played like they just wanted to enjoy the occasion, be part of the European weekend, and hopefully they've made the return journey home looking at brighter things and coming back next year and taking the title, but happy with their performance this weekend.
Third place then, the Austrian brass band of the University of Music and Performing Arts, Graz. Markham, the highlight of their performance?
Anthony, the highlight of their performance, actually, to be fair, was all of it. It was really good stuff. There wasn't one piece you could actually separate. They only played three works. It was just a good all-round show, simple as that. Well-directed, well-controlled from the middle, some great playing, lots of thought and attention to the music, and they produced the goods on the day.
And then the other three bands in this competition, Malcolm, were the brass band Sengerai, Merli Silver and Drogheda Brass Band. Highlights from their performances?
In fairness, Anthony, I think all three performances had moments where they shone more than others. All three of them really gave it their all. Merli, for example, they had an absolute ball on. They were the only band to play a march. They played a New Colonial, and their sop player was superb and really enjoyed himself. The Lithuanian outfit gave a very, very varied program. In fact, they chose five pieces, the highlight of which, it has to be said, was the cornet solo Zelda, although it was announced that we were going to be getting the Nightingale. And finally, it was Drogheda that played number one. They had the unlucky task of starting the contest off some 16, 17 hours ago at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. It wasn't, to be honest, it wasn't bad for a number one draw at all. It was it had its moments. Plantagenets, they included in their programme. And it took a while to settle, but when it did, it was a good show. But it was a top three. Where the judges really, you know, had the work cut out, and the others, unfortunately, just didn't quite produce the level of performances that the top three had.
Ewan, we ask the same question every year. The B section, is there a purpose to this event?
I don't know. It's a bit like the UEFA Cup, isn't it, against the Champions League. It must be of some interest to the bands that are competing, but really, in the great scheme of things, it doesn't really rate that highly. What they need to do, I think, with EBIT is to make sure that there's some sort of foundation put in place in these so-called developing nations. Otherwise, all you get is just examples of good bands and good brass ensembles coming along to the European Championships to play. And that's it. And I think that's what you've currently got at the moment in the B section. What you need is to have like the Germans or the Lithuanians to come and then turn around and say, yeah, we've got 5 or 10 or 15 bands now competing in our national championships to actually qualify to get here. All you have at the moment is just one representative from each country. So I don't really think that is serving much of a purpose.
Well, that sums up the B section. Ostend 2009, highlights and lowlights, though. A good event, seemed to be very well run.
Excellently run. I've got to give it to the organisers this time as well. Great hall. Really is a fantastic hall. By all accounts, when it was originally built, it was called the Hall of 100 Errors. But nowadays, it's been sorted out.
Sounds like a recent test piece release, doesn't it?
So good. I'll ask Paul Evercoe to write that, I think, and I think on that one. It really was. It was well done. The one thing I've got to say, the Belgian people turned out in force. There was 2,000 plus people in the hall. It was packed
for the own choice selections. There was, you know, 1,400 people in there for the set work. The B section was well attended. And there was a good buzz about the place. So, you know, hats off.
The Gala concert as well, to be fair.
Hats off to them. They've really pulled the stops out on this one. You wouldn't say that Ostend is the greatest place you ever want to come and visit. It's a bit like Blackpool, isn't it, really, for Belgium? But it's.
You think the weather helped this weekend?
Aye, and the beach outside as well. But you know, but there we go. We got Blackpool to look forward to next week. Hats off to everybody. The highlight was the organisation and the play-in. The low light, I think, is possibly the price of the lager out here. Still too expensive.
But good.
Oh, very good, though.
Lovely.
Well, I think that brings things to a close. Thanks to our friends from Brass Band World. Thanks to Ewan Fox and Malcolm Wood also. Thanks to Philip Lawrence for providing the podcast theme. And thanks to Norman's Musical Instruments for supporting this podcast. Until next time, goodbye. Here's a little bit more music. Corey's winning performance, the end of the performance of Standing on the Shoulders of Giants by Peter Graham.